Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you glad that you're in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. This is a night to honor God's people, Israel. Our giving today is going to go to Israel. Amen. The word of God says that those that bless Abraham get blessed. Amen. The word of God says that we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And if there were ever a time that we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, it is now. Have you ever wondered why the devil is after Israel? So committed to destroying Israel and cannot succeed? Because God loves Israel. Amen? Israel is the apple of God's eyes. Israel is the bride of the Father. Praise the Lord. Amen? And so we are privileged to be those that are grafted into Israel. Amen? Everything that you have today as a Christian comes from the root of Israel. Did you know that? All of the apostles, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, all the prophets. Wow. Where will the church be without Israel? Nowhere. That's like trying to be born without a mother or a father or any heritage at all. Even when the Lord Jesus Christ was coming to the earth, he came through a woman. Everybody comes through somehow. And so it's a great honor today to bless the name of the Lord and thank him for the wonderful privilege that we have to be part of the family of God. Amen? And before I introduce our guest that is going to be that I'm going to interview, and after the interview, I'm going to bring a word to us about the covenant blessing that God called us to in our father, Abraham. I will not play all of this introductory video concerning this particular ministry, but just a minute or so of it, and then I'll get to our guest for tonight. Amen? Let's have the video.
Oh.
Amen. Well, we have an idea about the ministry where our guest speaker is a director of interfaith relationships. It's my great honor and privilege to have a dear sister in God, Ruth Guggenheim. Could you please, yes, there she is. Hi, Sister Ruth. Bless you. How are you doing today? Can't hear you. You're muted. We can't hear you.
I'm sorry.
Okay, there you are.
You know, modern technology. A blessing and a curse, as the Bible says.
Well, it's such a joy to have you. Early morning for you. It's about 2:30, 3 in the morning, something like that.
Yes.
Wow, we are so
honored. I haven't gone to sleep yet.
We are so honored to have you stay up so late to communicate with us tonight. You know, Israel is going through very difficult and horrendous time. October 7th is a day that will not be forgotten because it was a day that great harm was brought about by a group of people called Hamas. Violence was enacted in a very serious way in the land that God has marked as a land of blessing. And we are all horrified about it. But we are thankful that you are there. We are thankful that the ministry of Umana is there. And I just want to have this time on the night that we want to honor Israel to just chat with you for a few minutes. And then I'm going to be talking about our heritage as Christians, as part of the family. Because when you were hurt, we were also hurt. Your family. And family sticks together. And we stand with Israel. Praise God for that. Amen. So, Sister Ruth, tell me a little bit about Umana and how this foundation started, what you're doing, and how you are helping to bring healing to those that are wounded and hurt and disenfranchised.
Thank you, Bishop, for having me and for inviting me into your family and to address everybody. First of all, everyone should have blessings in the new year, 2024, to be a year of blessings and healing for all of us. So thank you. Emunah started over 80 years ago, primarily by a group of religious Jewish women who were saving children, bringing children from the Holocaust, right before the Holocaust, and bringing them into housing into Israel. They were saving them with the idea that ultimately their parents would come over from Europe. And then we also had the Holy Land. With that in mind, humanitarian aid organizations throughout Israel. We have 160 projects that includes residential homes for children that have been abused, abandoned, or orphaned, and we raise them until they become adults at 18 years old. We have high schools, We have the largest subsidized daycare program throughout Israel. We have over 120 children, 120 centers across Israel that subsidize single moms, immigrants, and refugees so that their children can get quality daycare while they pursue their education or go to work. And the most important thing right now is that we have one of the largest networks of crisis counseling centers. And the crisis counseling centers right now have been put into emergency mode, which means we have normally 13 crisis counseling centers. We are currently expanding them, and we have added on to our team of expert therapists who focus on trauma and relief counseling. We are doing that now because since the war, we knew that people are going to need a tremendous amount of healing, both therapeutically and spiritually, and that Emuna is positioned to help the people of Israel heal and get back on a good footing once the war comes to an end. We want to keep post-traumatic stress syndrome at a minimum, and we want to keep depression and anxiety at a minimum. So providing counseling to anybody who needs it, not just the hostage families, not just the families in the South, but throughout Israel, we are all suffering, and every single individual has either friends or family currently fighting in the military who they are on the front lines. So we're all impacted. We have a quarter of a million people from the South who were living in hotels who had to be removed from the southern communities and put into central Israel to just maintain their lives. And they've been in hotels for almost 3 months at this point. So there's a lot of healing that the people need. And Emuna is positioned to do that, thank God.
Thank you for sharing so clearly with us today what Emuna is doing. Actually, before I came to the service this evening, I happened to turn on a television station. I don't generally listen to that much anymore because they're all fake news. But anyhow, there was a young lady that was just that was kidnapped and was released, and young beautiful lady, and she was talking about how guilty she feels for being free, because when she was being released, she said she was apologizing to those that she was leaving behind. And now she's been free for maybe about a week or so, and she's feeling guilty. She's still in the hospital. So I do understand that there are going to be post situations that are going to be dealt with. People that are going through a very difficult time emotionally. Medicine and psychology and all of that is not going to resolve everything, but we are going to pray and we're going to believe God to help everyone that's been held in such a painful, hurtful situation. The whole nation is reeling under this pain. Now, we do not forget the fact that on the other side, it's war, and there's a lot of pain on the other side also. You know, there are people. We are all God's children, you know. I don't think that whatever it is that's happening has been malicious. And I don't think that it's an issue of revenge. I think it's a situation where Israel is fighting for its survival. Because I heard it over and over again, Hamas leaders saying, this is going to continue on, October 7th is going to continue again and again and again and again. And no, it's not. This has to come to an end, but we're going to do our part. Now, what is the state of the people right now? You've shared a little bit about it, but how is the society at this moment? What's going on?
It's almost like being bipolar, to be honest. Because on one hand, the people of Israel, we are survivors. The Jewish people have survived thousands and thousands of years. Persecution has always been something we've confronted with. Many of you know our history. I don't need to go through that. But literally, generation after generation, there are those that rise up and want to just literally destroy the Jewish people. So there's that feeling of, oh no, I thought it was going to be never again, but here it is again. And there's a trauma in that feeling. There's sadness, there's pain. And there's kind of like almost this belief, you know, like we are in our own land and we have to survive. And we're now, it's not even just Hamas, with all due respect, Bishop, we're also now confronted with the Hezbollah in the north. There's the Houthis.
Yes.
And there is just like, they are transparent in their desire to destroy Israel and the Jewish people. So they're saying, they're putting out there their honest, you know, goals. So we're, that's hard for us to hear and to continuously hear. But on the other hand, Bishop, I need to tell you, the people of Israel, the Jewish people are resilient. We have such faith. And on one level, we are standing behind our military. We have no choice. We are proud of them. We are proud of the people that have been called up. What happened on October 7th, on some strange level, really reunited the Jewish people from all different walks of life. You know, Judaism, like all religions, we have people who are followers, people who aren't, people who are left, middle, right. And before, unfortunately, we were going through a very difficult period where we were kind of at each other's throats, both in Israel and around the world, about judicial reforms and different things. It was things that should never have gotten to the point that it did, though it did. So October 7th, literally, when many of us woke up and it was Shabbat, it was Sabbath, and it was a holiday, and we started to hear what was going on, instantly, the people united. It was as though God said, wake up, my children. Unfortunately, you're going to go through a very difficult time right now, but this is how you're going to be unified, and you're going to come back under my wings, and I will protect you. So again, there's a bipolar reality. One is pain, one is also some fatigue and exhaustion that we're going through this. The other is great hope and spirit that at this time, God will see us through, and you, all of our friends in the world that are standing by us. So I think right now the feeling here in Israel amongst most of us.
Awesome. You know, this is exactly what Amalek did to Israel. You know, Amalek, God did not send Israel to do anything to them. They were minding their own business, Israel was, and Amalek came, and God said, from now on, I'm going to wipe out Amalek. And Hamas saw the political division that was happening in Israel with all the legislation that was and stuff that was happening, and thought, this is the right time. You know, this divided, let's go, let's attack. But did not know it was going to have the reverse effect, that this was going to cause the people to pull together, you know. And so I'm thankful for the unity that's amongst the people of Israel. This flushed out also, I think, flushed out all the anti-Semitism that is in the world, as was hiding all over the place. So now you can see who the enemy is. You know, it's no longer hidden. Now this over there, over there, over there, over there. But we thank God that God is gracious, and His word is firm. It is forever settled in heaven, and God will save Israel. You know, the word of God says, "Israel shall be saved." And we celebrate that, and today we believe in God for that. We celebrate you, Sister Ruth, and we thank God for you and the amazing work that you're doing. You know, I think I've got to know you now about 2 months, 3 months, maybe, something like that. But it's like we've known each other for, you know, I know millennia, I don't know what to say. You know, so thank you so very much for spending your time with us tonight. If you want to go to bed, you're welcome to go to bed. I understand it's 2:03 a.m. in the morning, but I'm going to continue on with the congregation and those that are online, you know, talking a little bit about the blessing of Abraham. And no matter what, that name, Abraham, trumps every agenda that the enemy has, because it's a blessed name, and we give God praise. Thank you for being family.
Thank you.
We are part of you, and you are part of us, and we will honor the name of the Lord. You know, what we'll bring might be 5 loaves and 2 fishes, like the miracle in the Bible, but that which we'll bring shall be multiplied to help meet the needs that are present at this time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let us pray,
Bishop,
for Ruth.
May I personally extend an invitation to you and your entire church family that when, God willing, the time is right, you all will visit us in Israel, and it will be a blessing for the people of Emuna to host you and take you around and show you not only our facilities, but some of, you know, parts of the Holy Land. And we should all be blessed to be together at time of peace. And again, we extend our hand to you for everything you're doing. And we do welcome you at one time soon in the Holy Land.
Amen. We receive that invitation with thanksgiving. But before you go, I want us to pray with you and for you. I'm going to ask my wife, Pastor Maria, to come and pray.
Shalom, Sister Ruth. Thank you so much. You were clear on the vision, and I'm sure a lot of us, we start thinking of what we can do to help. You know, a little go a long way. Let us pray. The Bible says we should pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for Israel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the nation of Israel. We thank you, God, for the people of Israel. They are the people you gave the book to, gave the word to, so it can be spread so that we can turn our hearts back to the living God. You are our help.
Yes, Father.
Without you, we can do nothing.
That's right.
We ask at this time, as Israel is going through different things and all kinds of issues, there's crisis, there's pain, there's trauma, there is hurt, there's woundedness, but there's also unity, and there's also love, there's also peace, and the hand of God moving, and miracles are also happening. So Lord, we ask, oh God, that you intervene and help.
Yes, Father.
This is a helping ministry. Umuna is helping. Helping is called faith. By faith, they are helping people.
Yes.
Started with women. Anything you give to a woman, a little flour, a little oil, always multiply and bring miracles.
Yes.
So multiply seeds that are being sown into this Umuna ministry.
Yes, Father.
As they help the needy, the hurtful, the painful, children, mothers, sending people to schools, opening so many stations all around the nation to help those who are less privileged. Lord, bring help to your people.
Amen.
Help the staff.
Amen.
Minister your grace to them.
Amen.
Bring strength to them.
Amen.
Bring people who will help to hold their hands up.
In Jesus'
people who will
name.
Also put things in their hand.
Yes, Father.
Lord, it's a trusted ministry. They've helped for 80 years. They've been doing this. Father, remember them.
Yes, Lord.
Remember your people.
Yes, Father.
Remember your people.
Yes, Lord.
Your word says, Israel is your firstborn.
Yes.
Israel, your glory.
Yes.
Israel, the apple of your eye.
Yes.
all Israel shall be saved.
Yes,
we continue to say, let God arise.
Yes, Father.
And let all his enemies be scattered.
In Jesus,
and Lord, continue to send your peace.
Yes, Father.
Continue to send your peace to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Peace to Jerusalem.
Amen.
Peace within her walls.
Amen.
Peace to her palaces.
Amen.
Prosperity to her palaces.
Amen.
And continue to send helpers,
yes,
from the nations of the earth. And those who heard the sound of our voices tonight, that her sister Ruth's voice, Bishop's voice, my voice, and our congregation, that they will sow seed to help Umuna.
Amen.
That more lives will be changed.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, our dear sister Ruth.
Thank you.
Sister Ruth is the director of Interfaith Relationships for Umuna Foundation. Thank you so very much. You have a restful day, and may the peace of God garrison your
first
heart.
Night. I have to go through my night. But shalom, shalom, everybody.
Shalom,
thank you
shalom.
So very much, Bishop and Pastor Zeno, to both of you.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. Tonight, I want to explore with you a thought that we are certainly aware of, but we need to be very conversant of. There are times when you have information, but you do not know the full implication of that statement. We talk about the blessing of Abraham, but the reality is that while we know about it, we have not focused on it. The Word of God says that when we meditate on the Word of God, that that's how we are going to prosper. Amen? And so we need to meditate on what God's Word says. What is this blessing of Abraham? The Word of God tells us in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, beginning to read from verse 14. Galatians 3, beginning to read from verse 14. If you can turn to that particular passage of Scripture, Galatians chapter 3. And verse 14. The Word of God says, actually, let me go up a little bit earlier than that. Let's take it up from verse 10. Let's start out from verse 10. The Word of God says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So there is a law, and the Word of God says, cursed is everyone that does not continue to do that which is written out in the book of the law. But the Word of God continues, says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. So the law is given and curses everyone who does not continue to work according to the law. So, but then the Word of God says that no man is justified by the keeping of the law. How then are we to be justified? The Word of God says, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Now, this is not just a New Testament declaration. The just shall live by faith. And I want you to understand and take a hold of that word. The just or justified live by faith. Now, in the book of Habakkuk, and we're going to come back to the book of Galatians, but in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4, the Word of God states very clearly, Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. He says, behold, his soul, which is lifted up, I want you to notice those words, the soul of the one who's lifted up is not upright in him. But the just shall live by his faith. The just live by faith. Now, in that statement found in the book of Habakkuk, God's word is saying, listen, I have given a commandment, and if you think you can keep this commandment, you are operating in pride, because there's no way you're going to be able to keep it. So what was the reason for the law? The law was given to show us our need for God. Amen? It was given to show us that we cannot do the right thing. So we have to trust in a God who is going to impart us with his righteousness, and by his righteousness, we'll begin to live uprightly. For you to think that you can do it in your own strength is fully. It's not possible. It's an impossible task. Now back to Galatians chapter 2. It says, or chapter 3 rather, it says, the last thing that we read in verse 11, it says, the just shall live by faith. And the law, watch this now, the law is not of faith. The just live by faith, but the law which God gave, it says it's not of faith. But the man that doeth them shall live in them. If you're doing those laws, you're going to live in them. And then it says, Christ had redeemed us from the curse of the law. Amen? We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. These impossible laws that we cannot keep. He says we've been redeemed, we've been bought back from that work. Praise the Lord. Why did he do that? And how did he do it? By he himself, the Bible tells us, being made a curse for us. How did he become a curse for us? How did God take on the curse for us? For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on a tree. So when Jesus went on the cross, he took on the curse. Amen? The curse that was supposed to rest on me as a lawbreaker, because I could not keep all of the laws. He redeemed me from that, became a curse for me. Why? That the blessing of Abraham, Jesus took the curse so that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So that you and I can participate in the blessing of Abraham, Jesus took the curse of the law. First of all, understand that the Gentiles for sure could not keep the laws. Now, understand that the statement about not being able to keep the law was primarily, are you ready for this? I don't know if you're ready for this. It was primarily concerning Gentiles, because Paul tells us, according to the law, blameless. So the impossibility of not being able to keep the law, the Ten Commandments, well, you know the Ten Commandments, right? Yeah. You have God first. Then you've got to love your neighbor as yourself. Yes? Hallelujah. You're going to keep the Sabbath. You don't commit adultery. You don't steal. You don't lie. You are not covetous. What is so impossible about those? It is all the other laws. all the other man-made laws. You have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this. There's maybe 600 and something of them. And if that's how you think you're going to make yourself holy, you just made yourself the biggest fool. You can't. And Gentiles, for sure, couldn't. Because Gentiles were given to all forms of immorality. They did not know God. And there was no way for them to keep the laws that will help them walk with God. So when we're talking about the law, yes, it affects Israel, but it's specifically, more specifically directed at Gentiles. Hello? Do you get it? You sure now? Okay. So what should happen so that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, who became a curse for us? We were born and shaped in iniquity and sin, and we had no fighting chance. We're not anywhere close to the commonwealth of Israel. There's a commonwealth of Israel, and we were not part of it. And Jesus, our Lord, made certain that we become part of it. So he took on the curse for us and for all mankind, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Through faith, not through works. Through faith. So the blessing of Abraham is received by faith. Hallelujah. He says, brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannul it or add it thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. And his seed. And he clarifies, he says, he saith not unto seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. Praise God. The seed, which is Christ. The promise is to the seed. Which seed? That same seed that is going to bruise the head of the serpent. Hallelujah. So the blessing of Abraham is God saying, listen, I got Israel covered. I got to have you also covered. And the way to bring you and you together is in Christ Jesus. Because I can see there's a proof here. You guys, it should be easy for you to keep the Sabbath. Huh? Just the Sabbath. Guess what? They didn't keep the Sabbath. So, for all of the Sabbaths that they did not keep, God sent them into exile. Bang! Ezra chapter 1. Can you take me to Ezra chapter 1? They were committing adultery. David committed adultery. Thou should not kill. David killed. So even for them, something that should have been easy was not that easy. I think I got my passage wrong. I thought it would be here. Anyway, the passage of scripture I wanted to bring you to is a passage where God sent Israel out into captivity because they did not allow the land to experience its Sabbath. So for the 70 years, they were out for 490 years. Amen. If you find it, let me know. Hallelujah. Just look for 490 years and we'll find it. It's there somewhere. Anyway, so this is what happens to Israel and to the people of God, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, all of this is happening, and the Word of God says to us, in verse 17, it says, "And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law which was 430 years after." So God confirmed this blessing, this covenant blessing, 430 years before the law came into play. And the law that now came into play does not disannul or cancel out the promise, or made the promise of God of none effect. And the promise was given by faith. Hallelujah. That's why the just live by faith. He says, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of the promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." It was a promise. "This is what I'm going to do. Wherefore then severed the law? It was added because of transgressions." People messing up. "Till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." That seed to whom the promise was made was Jesus. "And it was ordained," watch this, "it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." So angels presented the documents. God saying, "I'm bringing Jews and Gentiles together," in Ephesians would tell us, to create the one new man. Praise the Lord. One new man under the lordship of the sovereign Lord. He says, "Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." God is one. "Is the Lord then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law." So we are getting another dimension of what this working of faith is. It's to establish righteousness, the right to stand. Amen? But the scripture had concluded all under sin. Every one of us, we all have what? Sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be fulfilled, given to them that believe. But before faith came, we are kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Now, the blessing of Abraham, it came through Jesus Christ. But what is the blessing of Abraham? What is this blessing? Genesis chapter 12. Come with me to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Starting to read from verse 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," Abram, the name means exalted father. This name is going to be changed in Genesis 17 to Abraham. It says, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you." God speaks to Abram. He says, "You know what? It's time for you to leave." God has spoken to his father. And his father had left all the Chaldees, and he've come all the way to Haran, and he stops there, and he dies there. He never did fulfill the calling that God had for him. So, here's Abraham. God speaks to him. He says, get thee out of thy country. Thy country? They've made Haran their country. They settled down. And God says, this is not my promise for you. And God looks for a man called Abraham and speaks to him. He says, leave this country, leave your brethren, your kindred, your family members, leave your father's house, and follow me. I'm going to show you a land. What is the name of the land? I'm going to show it to you. When you get there, you will find out what the land is. This was his first act of faith, not knowing where he was going, but just trusting God. Just trusting God. And he says, God begins to pronounce the blessing. He says, and I will make of thee a great nation. I'm going to make of you a great nation. First promise. I'm going to make you not just a nation, I'm going to make you a great nation. Do you understand that Israel, small as it is a great nation? They've produced more good in the earth than any other group of people. Doctors, lawyers, scientists, you name it. If you're looking for breakthroughs, trace it back to Israel. It's a Jew. Because the blessing of Abraham is on them. And they received it by faith. And you and I, as Gentiles, if we are going to experience the blessing of Abraham, we've got to receive it. How? By faith. Not by works. By faith. Lord Jesus, you became a curse for me so that I can tap into this blessing and become a great nation. Now, what does it mean to be a great nation? Now, do you know there are people on the earth today, right this very moment, that are wealthier than nations? Yeah? There are people that when the United Nations is meeting, they can sit with the United Nations and speak as a nation because they've got power. Are you with me? So when God talks about making you and I a nation, making Abraham a great nation, he's talking about the capacity and the ability to function and do things in extraordinary ways that is done in a way that impacts nations. And the Word of God says to us that we are to preach the gospel and disciple nations. Hallelujah. The Word of God says we are a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, a holy nation. We've got to have a national perspective about us and recognize that when we are speaking, we are not just speaking to a handful of people, but that we can change the situation in nations. Speak with a voice that changes nations. Speak and take possession and become a principality that deposes principalities and powers and the rulers of the darkness of this world and spiritual wickedness, because we understand that Jesus became a curse for us so that we can become the blessing that becomes an impact force in the world. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Lord, our Father is speaking to Abraham, and he's saying, number one, I'm going to make thee a great nation. Secondly, he says, I'm going to bless you. That's the second thing. And I will bless thee. I will bless thee. I will barak you. I'm going to bless you, Abraham. If you listen to my instruction and leave everything, separate yourself from everything that is natural to you and walk with me, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pour great blessings and benefits upon you in so many ways. You are going to know that you are blessed. When you and I say, I am blessed and highly favored, we're talking about the Abrahamic blessing. God said, I'm going to bless you. And not only am I going to bless you, number three, I'm going to make thy name great. I'm going to make your name great. You see, when God makes your name great, you don't need titles. When your name is great, it doesn't matter whether they call you bishop, apostle, doctor, engineer, whatever, you know, from where I come from. If you graduate, you're an engineer, that's what you put in front of your name. Engineers. I can understand doctor, I can understand a lawyer, you know, a barrister, you know. Well, there's no reason why, you know, architect so and so. You know, when your name is great, they just mention the name. It opens doors. It's not the titles. But people want titles. People will die, kill other people just to get a title. But our God says, I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to give you a name, and your name is going to be great. I'm giving you a great name. Hallelujah. A great name. A great name. Somebody say, Lord, make me a great nation. Bless me and make my name great. Hallelujah. Make my name great. If I say Maurice Cerullo, if I say Billy Graham, I don't need to put doctor, reverend, pastor, apostle, whatever. When your name is great, it's just a matter of mentioning the name. And that's it. Hallelujah. That's it. You just mention the name. Oh, I know that guy. He has a great name. God wants you to have a great name. That is part of the Abrahamic blessing, that the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles. You and I were the Gentiles that are now grafted in, and we are now part of the family of God. And God is saying, I'm going to bless you with faithful Abraham. Wow. 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 I'll make your name great. And not only am I going to bless you, I'm going to make you a blessing. She. I'll bless you. and then I'm going to make you a blessing. That is God enlarging you, that your name begins to open doors for people. Just the mention of your name, and doors will swing wide open. I'm going to give you a great name. You see, when the sons of Sceva went to mess up with the demonic guy, and the demonic guy beat them all up, he said, "Jesus, I know. I know Paul. Who are you?" Who are you? I was listening to a message by a guy who was dedicated to the devil, and he was married from when he was a baby, to an elderly woman, satanic. Grew up to be a wicked, evil, practicing individual, seeking to destroy everybody and anything. You mess with him, you're done. And he said, while he was growing up, he came to encounter the Lord. Before his encounter with the Lord, he said, one time they sent message to him and all the cohorts that operated in his particular part of the country. They said, "Every one of you move away from the town. Go 70 miles away. Don't you come into the town." Why? Because there's a guy called Maurice Cerullo coming. And if you are there, it's you're on your own. Because Maurice Cerullo is going to mess everything up. Hallelujah. That's a great name. I remember I've not said this often, but I remember as I stand here before you. One day, the Lord speaks to me. The Lord spoke to me. I heard him loud and clear. He said, "Son, let me tell you something." I said, what, Lord? He said, "You know, my promise and how the people will say, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And our father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." He said, "Maurice Cerullo." I said, "Huh?" He said, "Yeah, it's in the name of Jesus. That's the ultimate name. But you can say, because of him, I love the Son." I said, "I've not heard this before. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Maurice Cerullo." I say, "What? This man is in that class? You hold him up that high?" Yeah. So I thank God that he chose him to be my spiritual father. Amen. I honor him. Praise the Lord. I was listening to something today, and there his name popped up again. I say, "Man, this guy is gone from going to 3 years now. And He's still moving things. That is God blessing you and making you a blessing. He's giving you a great name and making you a blessing. That doors get opened just because. That when people are struggling and going through crisis situations, that you stretch your hand and you bless them and you say, go in the strength of the Lord, and things begin to open. That's you being a blessing. It's the overflow. Hallelujah. The overflow of God's goodness operating in you and through you. He says, number one, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a blessing. I'm going to bless them that bless you, Abraham. Anybody who blesses you, I'm going to bless them. This is the way to connect. Hallelujah. You bless Abraham, you get blessed. Today, we are going to sow into the household of Abraham. Amen. Praise God. You see, there are all kinds of seeds that you need to sow. Leviticus tells us about sowing all kinds of seed. That there comes a time when, you know, God says, I'm going to pour you rain. But the seed, you got to sow. You know, the problem is that many of us eat our seed. And then we complain, God is not blessing me. No, sow your seed. But it's not just one kind of seed that you sow. Today we're going to sow into Israel. We've sown into Pakistan. Yes? I'm not going to tell you all the places that we sow into, but I tell you what, you know, as much needs that we have, I am smart enough and wise enough to understand that if what I have cannot solve my problem, I got to sow it and trust God to multiply my seed sown. Amen? So, everyone that is going to engage themselves in sowing in one form or the other today, you're going to receive the impartation of that. The Word of God tells us about tithing, and He says, when you tithe, you are going to fill my house. Now, what the Word of God says? He says, but if you want your house filled, you got to sow the first fruit. And who does the first fruit go to? To a man of God. So you have to sow that way and sow this way. Ecclesiastes says, sow in the morning, sow in the evening. You don't know which one is going to produce the fruit that you want. Let's keep on sowing. When the Lord talked about sowing of seed, He said, the sower scattered it through the seed. Some fell on good soil, some fell on thorny soil. You know, it just fell, but some fell on the good soil. And the ones that fell on the good soil produced everything that He needed. Hallelujah. So, sowing. But sowing is not just a sowing of money. It's a sowing and the tithing of your time, of your talents, the capacities that God has given to you. You want to experience increase in ways that cause you to be in that level of being a nation, being in that level where you can say, you know what? I am blessed and God has given me a great name. God has blessed me. Then you've got to go to that next level of blessing those that will cause blessing to come back to you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. It says, and I will curse them that curse you. Now, understand that cursing them that curse you is not about, I abuse you, I speak an evil word to you. The curse is the lack or the absence of the blessing. So when you see somebody and you are meant to bless them, and you did not bless them, guess what you did? You cursed them. And by that curse, you curse yourself. Never make a promise to a man of God. Hear me loud and clear. If you really want to know the blessing, hear what I'm about to say. Never make a promise to a man of God that you don't intend to keep. Never. You do that, you position yourself into the curse. Things will begin to fall apart. It's not the devil doing it. It's you that did it to yourself. If you pronounce a thing to a man of God, I'm going to do such and such, move heaven and earth to make sure you do it all. Do everything. Or go to that man and say, I promised you that I was going to do such and such, and I have failed to do it. I don't know I'm going to be able to do it. Will you release me from my own words? Let him release you from your own words. Or you just put yourself under a curse. And that curse continues into your generation. It's passed on. Just like the blessing passes on, so does the curse pass on. So never do that. You give your word, keep it. Keep it. Amen? Don't be flippant. Nobody forced you to go say anything. So don't open your mouth and start saying things, because you undo the blessing on your own life. Amen? If God instructs you to do something, he's positioning you for your own miraculous experience. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. It says he'll curse those that curse him. And in thee, he said, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In thee shall all families in the earth be blessed. Guess what? Jesus, our Lord, came through this lineage. And all the families of the earth have been blessed because of him. The Bible says, and Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. God told him, what did God say for him to do? Leave your family. Yeah? Is that what he did? No, he took Lot with him. And the Bible said, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, but he took Lot with him. Don't ever add to the instruction of the Lord, because whatever it is that you add to the instruction of the Lord will be your undoing later on. Lot became a problem. Whoever comes with you is going to be blessed, but they're going to go past the point of being the blessing to challenging the integrity of who you are. And so did Lot. And finally, Lot, we know the story. I'm not done yet. I'm going to take you to another passage of scripture in just a moment. Lot comes with Abraham. They're both growing. And Abraham says, Lot, you know what? You go that way, I go this way. You choose. And the junior, in our culture, senior chooses first. In most cultures. Lot, in his arrogant self, chooses a plush land where Sodom and Gomorrah was. And when he left to go, God speaks to Abraham, says, look east, west, north, south, up, down, every which way. I've given all of them to you. Everything is yours. including what Lot was going to collect, that he thought he was going to collect. He lost his family there. The Abrahamic blessing brings us to a place of fullness in the good things that God has for us. Amen? Now, let's do one quick thing. Come with me to Genesis 17. Because God is restating in parts what this Abrahamic blessing is. Well, where does the time go? Genesis 17. He says, when Abram was 90 years old and nine, that's 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. So he was 75. Now he's 99. So that is 24 years later. Are you with me? What year is this? 2024. Praise the Lord. 24 years later, the Lord appears to Abraham and says unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou what? Perfect. Huh? No man is perfect. But not according to the language of God, and not according to the language of faith. You be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and will multiply thee exceedingly. I have multiplication on my mind for you. 99 year old, that's fruitfulness. Amen? I'm going to multiply you. The man is, in a sense, I guess at this point, he has Ishmael, but God is saying, no, no, the blessing is not Ishmael. Abraham fell on his face and God talked with him. God talked with him, saying, as for me, God, my covenant is with you. And thou shalt be a father of what? Many nations. When God started, he says, I will make of you a great nation. Singular. Singular. God is progressive. Amen? It's a process. He's giving him one word. Now he comes back to him on the 24th year and he says, I'm going to make you many nations. Neither shall thy name anymore be called Abram. Your name is no longer going to be Exalted Father. I'm changing your name from this day. I'm going to call you Abraham because you are a father of multitudes. Huh? For a father of many nations have I made thee. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. The promise of God. People are going to call you father. Nations everywhere. I remember traveling with my father, my spiritual father, to different nations, and the honor that was given to him in different nations. Father, father, everywhere, papa, 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 presidents, papa, vice presidents, papa. Well, God is a good God. Amen? He's well able to do what he wants to do with my life, with your life. Amen? Hallelujah. nations. Papa, your father to us. Your father, your father, your father. I'm going to make you a father of many nations, and I will make thee exceeding fruitful. Oh. And I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. Abraham, kings are going to come out of you. This is a covenant I'm making with you. Now, that covenant that God made with Abraham is a covenant that he pulls in Jesus Christ to include you and I. See, the most effective prayer that you and I can pray is, God, remember your covenant. And in this conference where we are talking about, Lord, remember me, really what we're saying is, Lord, remember your covenant. This is not dependent on me. This is going to be your doing on my behalf. Amen? He says, and I will establish my covenant between me and thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. I'm going to be the God of your children. They are going to reign and rule in the nations of the world. Guess what? In the nations of the world, Jews, Israelis are ruling. Oh, these Jews, they are this. And no, it's a covenant. It's a covenant. It is a covenant. And the devil has not been able to stop it. The blessing that God has for you is an unstoppable blessing. And every agenda of Satan, through men, women, boys, girls, satanic forces, spiritual forces, whatever they might be, the judgment of God comes against everything that stands in the way of the blessing of God being established and being fruitful in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, fire of the living God, on every altar that stands against you to try to impede and stop you from fulfilling God's divine mandate, every tongue that rises up against you shall fail in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Do you receive that word for your life? Amen. Hallelujah. I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger. There is no limit to what I can do with you. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant between me and you, and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised. Now that circumcision happened on the eighth day. What does eight stand for? New beginnings. God says, I'm starting something afresh with you. You've messed up, Abraham. You brought Lot. Now you've got Ishmael. But that's not what I planned for you. So I'm going to give you a new start. May God grant every one of us a new start. In Jesus' mighty name. A start that propels us into the destiny that God has ordained before the foundations of the earth for us. I want you to recognize, and I'm going to stop for now. I want you to recognize these simple things. Continue reading Genesis chapter 17 and see all that God has to say there. I want you to recognize this. First of all, God says, I'm going to make you a great nation. And then he enlarges it and says, nations, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make your name great. I'm going to make you a blessing. I will bless them that bless you. And I'm going to curse them that curse you. And through you, all families will be blessed. That is a promise of God. Hallelujah. That is a promise of God. So today, let us embrace that which God has established already for every one of us. When God changed the name of Abraham, Abram to Abraham, he also changed the name of Sarai to Sarah. God is a God that deals with a family unit. What he does for one, he does for the other, so that both, there's no lopsiding. Everything is in proper balance. Amen? I'm going to make you mother. You're going to have your own child. And your sadness, I'm going to turn to laughter. Sarah is busy laughing. He says, what, you're going to have a child? Ah. Abraham was the first one who laughed, you know. When God talked to him in Genesis 17, Abraham laughed. He said, yeah, right. God, let's forget that. Just take Ishmael. God says, I heard you about what you're saying about Ishmael. I'm going to bless him, but the real covenant person is. Do you know God has blessed the Arabic nations? He said there are going to be 12 nations out of Ishmael. They also have been blessed. That's why Muslims today, because most of them are Arabs, can say, we are blessed. Amen? You go to Dubai, oh my goodness. You go to Arabic nations and see what the blessing does. The wealth. Huh? The wealth. It's all because of the blessing that God spoke. Yeah? Israel, because of its sin, got scattered all over the place. But the blessing is still in the land. The land that was all totally messed up before Israel started returning to the land. Jews have always been in the land of Israel. They've never at any time been totally removed from the land. Not one time. Okay? A good segment of them will leave, but there's always been Jews in the land since way back. All right? That land today, we're going to go to Israel together. Amen? We're going to go. And we're going to, you're going to see, we have an open invitation already, right? So we'll find a way to put it together. All during the service, do you see that behind me? That is a live shot. So we are right now in Israel by being in that live shot. We've laid prayers on there and seen barren women have their babies. We've seen a lot of results just praying in the name of Jesus and joining with all the prayers of the saints and miracles happening. God is doing something in your life right now. Just receive it. God is doing something in my life right now. I'm receiving it. I'm not allowing any language of hell to be spoken into my life. I'm seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus because of the Abrahamic blessing that God has placed on my life, placed on your life. Don't belittle yourself, and don't allow anyone to belittle you. Just know who you are and be the blessing God says you are. Do not lie to yourself and don't lie to somebody else. Don't drag things that God did not say bring. He says, leave that alone, leave it alone. Hello? For some of us, we might have to separate ourselves from certain relationships to pursue the heart of God. And do it. As God directs you, do it. But don't lose out on the blessing that God has for you. Amen? We'll stop there tonight. Tomorrow night, you don't want to miss. I have a powerfully anointed man of God that's going to speak to us. His word to us is going to resonate in your spirit. It's going to be an incredible night. Amen? But tonight, I want us to sow. We are going to, everything that we sow today is going to go to Israel as a blessing to the people of Abraham, the sons and daughters of Abraham. We're going to sow. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So come, honor God with your giving. Praise the Lord. Are we able to have communion? Sister Pat, I need you. No distraction.
I don't know if I can send the money through the email for tonight.
Yes, yes, you can do that. Yes, yes, just do that. We need communion if we have one. Praise the Lord. I wasn't planning on having communion tonight. But as I was wrapping up, I received instruction to do so. So we will do that. Thank God for the efficiency of the ministry team and the ushers, that they are able to jump into action right away. I've been a little bit hesitant to talk about what I'm about to talk about right now. But before I say it, I will like to just bless those that are online. As soon as we finish sharing the communion, I'm going to cut off from those that are on Facebook and on YouTube, and I'll talk to those that are on Zoom and here in person, in-house. Hallelujah. Father, we are thankful. So, let's take another one. Praise the Lord. The God we serve is a God of covenant. And here at the table of communion, a covenant that reinforces the covenant that he made with Abraham is established. Today, as we take of this body and of this cup, let every aspect of the Abrahamic covenant be realized and be manifested in our lives. May the God of heaven touch every one of us, heal, restore, and make whole. And may we all prosper. Having been blessed, may we become the blessing in our generation. May the Lord God Almighty cause our name to be great. May the Lord God Almighty cause us to impact nations. May the God of our fathers bless everyone that blesses us and curse those that curse us. And may the God of heaven cause us to be a blessing to the whole earth. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we come to the table of communion and we remember you. Remember us, O Father, at this table. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Take of the body and eat.
This is the cup of blessing. All the blessings of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we receive into our lives.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Praise God. Amen. Make a funnel. Father, we receive all that you have for us. Help us to manifest your will in the earth as it is in heaven. Help us to manifest that which you have invested in us so that all mankind is blessed because we have been blessed of you. Tap into all that you have for us. I bless these sons and these daughters as they leave this place and go home. Lord, Father, in Jesus' name, let your hand rest upon them.